Chapter 20. Zara. Nightingale's soldiers burst into the house with weapons bared, their black cloaks billowing as they stride inside and point at Talon and me. The other Nightingale guards in the room leap to their feet, confused by the sudden commotion, their hands going down to their weapons as well. "You too," one of the newcomers declares, striding toward us with anger in his eyes. "You're under arrest for conspiring against the people of Dunmar City."
"Uh-oh,"
Talon grimaces.
"This doesn't look good."
Rough hands grab me by the arm and haul me to my feet as another guard grabs Talon, yanking him forward. "Hey," I shout, reaching for my book and barely managing to grab hold of it. "What's the meaning of this? We've done nothing wrong." King Aethelgar's men protest loudly as they are also apprehended, the two Nightingale groups now working together to subdue us.
"A guard was found dead not far from here, and your friend was found skulking nearby," the lead soldier says, lips twisting in a sneer. "The sullen boy with the green cloak."
"Owen?" I ask, looking to Talon in alarm. He merely shrugs.
"We'll see you all hanged for this," the soldier growls,
then orders us dragged out into the streets. Clutching onto the book in my hands for dear life, I try to appear unperturbed as we are hauled away like petty criminals, bonds of sinewy rope tied roughly around our wrists. Once outside, I find Owen standing beside a pair of guards, his eyes downcast and a look of defeat shrouding his face. He glances up at the two of us and says, "I'm sorry," before the soldiers remove my talisman and lead the lot of us toward the back of the cavern, where the great black fortress rises like a giant shadow. As we march, the citizens of Dunmar gawking in our direction, I manage to get within earshot of Owen. "What happened?" I ask, praying to the light that he didn't do anything stupid.
"Nothing," he replies earnestly. "Rollo's escaped. He killed a guard and snuck away wearing the man's clothes. Zara, you have to believe me."
"I believe you," I reply, trying my best to sound soothing. Before I can offer anything more, however, the guards pull us apart, snarling for us to remain quiet. Eventually, we reach the citadel and are led inside straight away. The wrought iron gate opens wide to admit us, and the guards force us through the dimly lit halls, our footsteps echoing loudly off the bare stone walls.
"What's going on?" asks a gruff voice nearby.
I recognize it immediately as belonging to Elias. Looking up, I can see the grizzled ranger standing directly in our path, forcing us to stop.
"Out of the way, ranger!" the lead guard snaps. "These kingsmen have been caught red-handed."
"And what do they stand accused of?"
Elias asks, crossing his arms.
"Murdering one of our brothers and attempting to escape their confinement unsupervised," the guard growls. "It'll be the gallows for them if I have my way."
Elias looks at Owen and me, then back at the guard, his brows creasing. He appears unconvinced.
"You saw this happen?"
The lead guard shifts where he stands, chainmail clinking.
"We didn't witness the actual murder, no, but we found the guardsman's body, his throat slit from ear to ear, and that one," he says, jabbing a thumb at Owen, "was caught next to the crime scene. He jumped through a broken window and tried to flee through the alley."
The ranger arches an eyebrow at Owen, who remains quiet as he stares defiantly at his master.
"Perhaps I will accompany you then,"
Elias replies after a moment, stepping to the side.
"The protector will no doubt be interested to hear my take on the matter."
"Fine,"
barks the guard, gesturing for the rest of us to continue down the hall.
"Little good it'll do them. Lesser crimes than this have resulted in execution, especially when kingsmen are involved."
He pushes us forward, leading us even deeper into the fortress. Elias falls into step behind us, his hand resting on the hilt of his belt knife. His face remains utterly emotionless, giving no indication as to what he is thinking.
Light, please help us, I pray, doing my best to remain calm. We've come too far to be executed like common criminals.
We enter through a door leading to the hall where we had been only the day before, the high vaulted ceiling hanging above us, and the polished stone columns flanking us on either side. As we come into the great chamber, I am surprised to find that it is empty, the protector's chair sitting vacant on the dais, and the braziers smoldering quietly by themselves. The soldiers lead us front and center, commanding that we wait before the dais while the protector is notified of our presence. Elias stands off to the side, stroking his chin thoughtfully as he stares into the coals of a brazier. No one speaks, an uncomfortable silence settling over everyone as we wait for the leader of the nightingales to arrive. Finally, after what feels like an eternity, a door at the back of the hall swings open, and Xander Thel strides inside. He is trailed by his own honor guard and a pair of attendants who appear extremely displeased. They glare at our huddled group, whispering quietly to themselves. But the protector maintains his composure, his face as hard and regal as ever. He walks up to his chair and sits down, his posture perfectly straight as he turns his attention on the lead guard.
Lieutenant Marr, please explain why I've been summoned.
The soldier steps up and sheathes his sword, dropping to one knee as he addresses the protector.
Sir, there has been a murder in the city, and we have reason to believe that these people are responsible.
Protector Thel shows no reaction to the accusation.
Explain, he says, tone perfectly neutral. One of them escaped by breaking a window and sneaking out through an alley, Marr replies. We found Guardsman Dalton Gibbs slain and this ranger lurking near his body. It wasn't me, Owen protests, boldly stepping forward and gazing up at the protector.
One of the guards curses and grabs his shoulder, roughly pulling him backward and almost causing him to stumble. The protector raises his hand, fixing the soldier with a stern look.
Let him speak, he says, his voice soft yet commanding.
Owen shrugs away the man's hand and continues, his voice carrying in the cavernous chamber.
I found the broken window and went out to investigate. The man was dead when I found him, and Rollo's was nowhere to be seen.
Thel looks to the soldier Marr.
Rollo's is the man who escaped?
The soldier nods.
Yes, sir.
Even from several feet away, I can see the protector's jaw tightening. Beneath his cool composure, a storm rages, which doesn't seem to bode well for us. While Thel contemplates this information, Elias steps forward, looking up dispassionately at the dais.
Protector, if I may, I know these people well.
He indicates Owen, Talon, and me with a gesture of his hand.
I spent time with them in my days as a ranger, and I can vouch for their sincerity. If they claim to be innocent, then it must be so.
Thel turns his hard gaze on Elias.
That may very well be so, Elias, but the troubling facts remain. A Nightingale patriot is dead, and one of these newcomers is loose in the city. This is a security threat that I cannot simply ignore. They've endangered us all, Marr says, speaking up with barely contained rage. Dunmar's greatest strength is its secrecy, and if that Kingsman escapes, then... That's enough, soldier,
the protector says, cutting him off. He takes a calming breath, then continues.
Though uncouth, what Marr says is true. We must order a strict lockdown of the city until the criminal, Rollo's, is caught. If he manages to leave these mountains, then I fear what King Æthelgar will do. Light pray that he was acting of his own accord, and not at the behest of his master.
Unfazed, Elias takes another step toward the dais.
"Allow me to aid you in searching for the man," he says. "I will bring him to justice. These others had no part in what Rollo's did."
"No," the protector agrees. "No, I suppose they didn't. We readily accept your help, Elias Keen. However, we cannot allow these people to go free. Not yet. If any more of them have treacherous intentions, then more of our people could be put in danger. They must be incarcerated for the good of the Nightingales, at least until we're certain of their true motivations."
The decision, though severe, doesn't surprise me. As the guards seize us yet again, I try to keep a level head. The whole point of this mission was to bring peace between the kingdom and the Nightingales. Despite everything that's going on in the world, it seems that people can't set aside their differences for even one moment. The realization makes me want to weep. Owen and Talon both protest as the guards tow us away, and behind me, I can hear Elias arguing softly with Xander Thel. By the sound of it, he's trying to persuade the rebel leader that we're innocent and that we should be allowed to go free. Will he see reason? I wonder, clutching the spell book as the men lead us to the Citadel's dungeons. Will Elias be able to convince him that we are of no threat? My heart sinks as we exit the audience chamber, the darkness of the fortress swallowing us whole. The gravity of the situation seems to press down on me from all sides, crushing me like a helpless insect. When will we ever not be in the wrong place at the wrong time?